Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust excellence built on 40 years of experience. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more about the Zurich Master Trust.
Greg, thank you very much for that. Now, we're living in an age of uncertainty, locally, globally and environmentally. War is raging in many parts of the world. We have the environmental crisis, the rise of extremism, and this year we'll also see the largest number of people voting across the globe. But not to worry, help is at hand. Dr. Paul Dalton, Associate Professor of Psychology at UCD, joins us again today in the second part of a four-part series to help us navigate the age of uncertainty. And Paul, you're welcome back as always. You might just give us a quick recap of what you covered last week.
Yes. So, Sarah, in this age of uncertainty that we find ourselves in, what I've been talking about are the life stages, Sarah. So we're at a time of great uncertainty and unpredictability, and that impacts on how we live our lives. And when we look at the kind of average life, there are certain tasks that we're expected to do at certain points in our lives. So last week and this week, we're talking about what needs to be achieved or what needs to happen during young adulthood and how that's being impacted on by what's been described, Sarah, as the polycrisis, you know, the environmental crisis, the wars that are raging. And that idea of polycrisis impacting on these kind of hearts and minds of ours that are really programmed for predictability. Mm. So a very basic, Sarah, but very fundamental psychological principle that human beings do well or they do okay when there is predictability, when we have a sense of what's going to happen next. In the absence of that, we get into trouble. So last week we talked about that, living with uncertainty, and what the psychologist Erickson had talked about. He talked about those life stages, Sarah, and one of them that's most known is the identity crisis in adolescence, for example. So he said, you know, in adolescence, our task is to establish a sense of identity. Mm. And he said then between our kind of 20s and 40s, our task is to establish intimate or close relationships. So we move away from our first family or family of origin, and we go out into the world and we try to establish relationships, not necessarily romantic or sexual relationships, yeah. Friendships. And I think we got to that point last week. We were saying, you know, Sarah, one of the most important decisions that we will make in the course of our lives is who we spend our time with.
Yeah.
I mean it fundamentally shapes us.
Okay, and so you introduced the four C's. You might just remind us about those.
Yeah, so the four C's here, and it was kind of my attempt to look at the research and what the research says about resilience. So we're living in an age of uncertainty, unlikely to change, but there's four things that jump out from the research when you think about resilience in the face of uncertainty. And they are conversations, control, contentment and compassion. So we talked about the value of conversation last week. And I was hoping this week what we might do is talk a little bit about control and how we can nurture a sense of control that may help us to weather the storm of unpredictability, of polycrisis that we find ourselves in at the moment. Go on.
Okay, weather the storm. Okay. So my sense, right, go. Is that we're really, control is an illusion. We're not in control of anything.
Mm-hmm. That's at a very fundamental existential level, you're probably right. Mm-hmm. However, there are things that we are in control of. One of the models or one of the ways to think about this is your zone of control. So there are lots of things. I am not going to be able to control the war that's raging, wars that are raging around the world at the moment. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be able to control the climate crisis. And Sarah, really importantly, for that 20 years to 40 year olds, housing, Sarah, is such a big problem. I'm not going to be able to control that.
Mm.
So there's two things to say there. I'll come back to control, but there's two things to say there. The students I teach in UCD, Sarah, my line and my refrain very often is that equality is the best therapy.
Okay.
Right? So what I mean by that is we've got to be very careful about locating the distress that comes from inequality or poor housing into the individual alone. Okay. Does that make...
Not fully.
Does
no,
that
not
make
fully
sense?
With you.
Okay.
Go on.
So very often, Sarah, people like me, or we might have a tendency in the narrative when individuals are distressed to blame the individual and to forget about the factors, maybe issues of injustice or inequality that are impinging on that human being.
Okay.
So we, when I speak right now and in other places, you've got to be very careful that we don't blame the individual or at least overblame the individual. It's a really, really important message because there are so many factors that impact on our well-being, on our happiness. One of them, Sarah, and I don't think it can be overstated, is a roof over your head. Anyone who's done a day's training in any sort of management will be familiar with Maslow's hierarchy of needs. So the hierarchy of needs that says basically at the bottom of that, in order for us to live a decent life, we need shelter and security.
Okay, because if we go back to then, and we are going to go back to control, it's very difficult to even have a feeling that you can control what's going on in your own life, never mind, as you say, the big issues of the wars and the climate change and all that in your own life, if you're facing challenges such as, I don't have a place to live.
Sarah, there absolutely is. And I hope I mentioned this clearly enough last week. There is no magic bullet. And there's no psychological fix to that. But there are things that we can do that can help us to weather
Tell
the storm
us.
A little bit. So we talked last week about conversation. We're talking now about control. That even in the midst of all of the issues that are outside of my control, there is incredible value in recognising the small pieces in my life that I do have control over. Now, if you're beginning to think, Sarah, that this is woo-woo, nonsense, Pollyanna
not
stuff,
sure.
or anyone else is...
I'm totally on board, Paul. I am on the train.
Remember we said all the way through COVID, we talked about relying on the science or believing the science. There's really, really good research that backs this up. And I want to tell you about a piece of research that I absolutely love. This is back in the 1970s. Big nursing home, a couple of hundred people. They were divided into two groups. One group was told, you know what, you can put your furniture wherever you want. You can have visitors whenever you need them. Find your own way here. And here's a plant and you might water the plant and keep it going. One group. The second group was told, we're going to take care of you. So we'll organise your room. We'll organise your visits and we'll look after that plant too. So they followed this group of patients in the nursing home for 18 months. And what they discovered was, with really good measures, those who were given a degree of control lived longer than those who didn't, but also demonstrated less anxiety, less depression and greater happiness. Now, Sarah, that's a real example of something terribly small that if you're given responsibility for taking care of, and I don't mean this lightly, and I'm not saying this as a magic wand. No, I'm not saying that at all. But when we have a sense of our own mastery, even about very small issues in our lives, it provides us with a sense of mastery and a sense of like, okay, this is in my zone of control.
So could we take maybe a practical example? You're, you know, living in a rent accommodation, just because you mentioned the housing crisis. And as you say, that's a very basic need. You're living in a rent accommodation. Rent might be going up. The landlord is threatened to put the rent up. You don't have enough money to pay the rent. You know, your job is sort of not looking that awfully stable. Everything just feels out of control. Where in your life then, or how in your life, do you start to sort of wrest that back? Is it like, I decide to have coffee every day at this particular time, or I decide, you know, to go looking for new jobs, or, you know, how big or small, or is it all those things?
So I think one of the most important things that we can do in those kinds of situations are some of the smaller things. So how we resource ourselves, i.e. the conversation we had last week about conversations, but more importantly, how can we take some action? So that might be being involved, that might be voting in a particular way, that might be joining a particular association, that might be about actually having a conversation with a friend that says how difficult I'm finding this. But in that zone of control, there are things we can do. that's not going to that's not going to sort it all out
all. It's the sense of empowerment.
A sense of agency, a sense of empowerment. And the research is clear on that, you know. And what we see, or what you see with people who become very depressed or very anxious, is that that sense of control completely dissipates from life. So something about regaining a sense of control, even when things look very desperate. And we said last week, and a couple of people said to me during the week, said that idea that, you know, if nothing changes. And I'm not offering that in a very light way to people who are suffering, you know, at all at the moment. But that needs to be remembered. One of the other things here, maybe just two things as we move towards the end. There's a term that's been used about the overview effect. And this came from astronauts on Apollo 8 in 1968 when they travelled to the moon. And they were on their way to the moon, got to the moon and said, actually, what really struck us, what was most effective, was when we looked at the planet that we lived on. That's when, because what happened...
Puts things in perspective,
perspectives. Yeah. And the other thing just to say, Sarah, you know, is don't go alone, you know, into these kinds of situations of uncertainty. We perish, you know, we take shelter in these uncertain times, in the conversations that keep us alive, you know, really to be brave, okay. You know, to be bold and to be surprised and delighted by what might happen.
Okay, have the conversations to try and wrest back the control. I can't wait to hear what the next C is about next week. Paul Dalton, very interesting as always to speak to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.